and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Friday edition. Today's date is Friday, the 14th of December, 2007. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. It's great to have you here with me today for this most important broadcast. Lots of information for you today. Please stay tuned for just a few minutes, and we'll be right with this interview we have lined up for you.
Oh, had I a golden dream and a needle so fine, I would weave a magic spell of rainbow design.
And ladies and gentlemen, we're back and getting ready for a very important interview here with a gentleman who's been working over here for some time trying to build a new source for information out on the Internet. And I've been following his work. He's actually been a promoter of the French Connection for some time now, and he's been looking into the same facts we do. And actually has taken his message to the streets in some instances and worked out quite well. And a couple of them that I've seen, some of the videos that I've seen, actually confronted people about some of these facts and interesting responses he got. His name is Mike. He has a site called ProThink, and he's been on MySpace for some time. And he's had a genesis of his own with the information, having started with Alex Jones' work and then working his way to the facts as we found them and here on the French Connection. And I want to bring him up right now. Mike, are you with me?
I am, Daryl. Good afternoon.
Nice to have you here. Well, actually, it's over here in France. It's evening, but that's okay. Well, what we've got here is you've got a new way of approaching this in your own right, taking effective means from different people. I see you going out into the street and doing interviews and actually confronting people. There was a recent one you just did. You want to explain what happened that day and some of the responses you got from the audience and stuff? It was really interesting to watch.
Well, yes. Down in Milwaukee, University of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, they were going to have an event. They were going to host Waleed Shubat, who is, I'm sure people know that he claims to be a former PLO terrorist. And he goes around the country giving seminars and gets a lot of mainstream media play, pushing his propaganda that because he used to be an extremist Muslim, that's all they wanted to do was kill Jews, and how he really supports Israel now, and he's a converted Christian. Well, we ended up going down there, and we took a couple people with us, and we wanted to go down there in a professional manner and not necessarily confront him, but address some of these issues now into the audience. So we get there, the place is packed. It's got about 800 people, and the place was packed with a lot of different types of people. They had Muslims there. They had a big, strong showing of Jewish people there. And so we get in there, and the mics go up at the question and answer time, and they get behind them third in line. And I go ask this guy, and I said, how can he support a country whose Mossad agents were found on 9/11? Perpetrating as Arabs and box cutters and the George Washington Bridge. And I said, there's enough evidence to support that Israel was involved in the attack in 9/11, if not one of the sole orchestrators of it. And they've done this in history before, the USS Liberty. And I said, how can you support this country? And, of course, I didn't get the video. I got the raw video I'm going to put up there so people can actually see his answer, because his answer was so ridiculous. It was not even funny.
What did he say, actually?
Oh, my God. It was ridiculous. The guy goes in and says, I support Israel because women can vote and we treat Arab people decent there. And it was just so off the wall. It had nothing to do with 9/11. It had nothing to do with false flag terrorism. It had nothing to do with Mossad being involved in 9/11. And he just completely spun the question completely away from everything. But I tell you what, when you look at a lot of these people out here that go running around with the Alex Jones camp and they go, New World Order scum, you're confronted, you're exposed, it's not doing any good. But you notice when in the video, when I brought these topics up and I brought it up in a professional manner, I didn't go, you're exposed, you're New World Order scum. What happened? What did the audience reaction? I mean, obviously, most of this audience, like I said, was pro-Zionist. And you could see that with a lot of the boos I was even bringing up the topics. But I did get a good response of applause. I'd say what, after that event was over, I was passing out flyers. And there was a lot of people interested in these facts that you don't hear from a lot of these so-called truth tellers and the so-called truth movement.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed is you did one other one, too, on the street that was interesting as well. But when you started saying this, I did hear the boos. I heard the boos. I didn't hear the cheering as well, and sadly. Now, were there organizers that tried to rustle you out of the building?
No, because I wasn't being belligerent. I wasn't being in a threatening manner. I wanted to bring up the evidence in a question and have the audience aware that, hey, there's somebody. And I made it very specific. I made a disclaimer in the beginning that I'm not a supporter of a monolithic religion, because this guy was already putting down the fact that if anybody brought up Zionism or anything like that, that this was a Muslim Middle East conspiracy. So I wanted to distance myself from being thrown in that box that they were going to try to throw me in, because there was a Muslim Student Alliance that was very present there, and I didn't want them to say, oh, this is where you're coming from. So they couldn't come at me with that. But that's how it went with that, you know.
Well, the response from that was pretty good. You did another one, another video that you confronted somebody on the street, and it was a little bit different, a little more in your face. You caught them off guard. Which one? Want to talk about that?
Well, we did the. You're talking about the Chicago.
Yes.
Well, they had these peace action groups in United Peace for Justice, which. It amazes me to this day that people still fall for the leadership of these groups that refuse to address things, and I've had a lot of personal contact with these people trying to get them to push facts, because that's what these are. They're facts, and they won't address them because whatever cause, there's probably a more cynical reason. But I went on the streets in Chicago. They had this big thing on October 27th, the anti-war protest. And I figured, well, this is a great idea. These are people these are Americans that want to be active, want to address the war. And I said, what better way to address the war than get down to business and find out the facts that led us into the war, the people that led us into the war, the system of this criminal network that got us into the war, and the reason that we're there. So I went down there, and I had a bullhorn, passed off some flyers, and I met down there with Converse, because he's from Chicago. And we went to work, and it turned out we got a lot of people that were saying that they knew this evidence, or, well, thank you, we'll look into this. You know, there was obviously a showing of people that weren't trying to hear that at all, because, you know, that label goes in their head that they're an anti-Semitic if you're talking anything bad about Israel. So, but it's overall turned out really good.
Well, I've been finding, they've been having a hard time trying to pin that on me, because you probably know some Jewish people in your life that they don't know any more about this Jewish conspiracy than we do, or we did. We know now, but they were in the dark like everybody else. And of course, they blindly support Israel because they've been indoctrinated into that support structure. But even that group is starting to say, hey, this doesn't sound right. Everybody's an anti-Semite? That doesn't sound right. We've got, Jimmy Carter's one now. We've got Walt and Mersheimer, who I think are Jewish. They're anti-Semites. I mean, they've used this term, thrown it around so liberally, that it almost sounds like a nonsense right from the start to me. Now, maybe that's because I've been thickened my skin from being called all kinds of names, but it seems to me it's not carrying the same punch.
No, and it shouldn't anymore. I mean, people should realize, first of all, if you even break down the term Semite and realize that we're actually being pro-Semitic by putting this information out, it's just, you know. But, yes, yeah, so you made a point that, I do know somebody that was Jewish and actually went to Iraq and fought in the war, and he came back after being overextended there. And I presented this information. You know, as a good friend, I was able to talk to him with it, and he was shocked. It threw him for a loop that he had been put in that position, and then to come find out the turn of history, what put him in there. And he really thought he was being patriotic by going and fighting Iraq for this. And yeah, he turned a new leaf after he got some information on him.
My experience with people when I was at NYU studying, I had contact with people that lived in my building, in my neighborhood. I mean, I would go down and get a muffin and a coffee, and I knew rank and file Jewish people. Like I said on a previous broadcast, people worked in delicatessens and whatever. And I know clearly. They don't know anything about this stuff. Now, some people want to condemn everybody, and that's racist to me. That's ridiculous to me. What we need to do here, and I think, and I don't know if you agree, but I'm going to ask if you agree, we need to separate the wheat from the chaff as best we can, and not condemn people for a belief structure that was tossed on their head as children, but rather how they react when they find out the facts. Because there are 40 million Christian Zionists running around the streets of America that are running around with bad facts in their head. And basically what we have here as a job is an education process. And then, you know, once people know the facts and they refuse to refuse to accept the truth as it stands once they've been told, that's a different story. But a lot of people out there are just learning this stuff for the first time. Well, what's your take on both the Christian Zionist and Jewish Zionist community who have been lied to?
Well, I completely agree with you, the fact that you can't blame somebody for their ignorance. But like everybody that was in that room when I confronted Waleed Shabbat and I brought up some topics. Now, for those people in that room that just completely turned down the idea of that information being true, them are the type of people that are complicit. But, you know, it's like I said, it's not a matter of grouping everybody up. It's when this information is presented to them and they refuse it or they're complicit with it, then they are guilty as the criminals that are involved in this. But, yes, well, you're right. We got to educate the people that follow this ignorantly, because this is what it is they're following ignorantly, and they're fulfilling the agenda for these people without having no idea the history of what these people have done. So...
Well, and that, you're right. And you know what I did discover, too? The best way to take down a group is to chip away at its internal support. I mean, if you start showing the facts to people from the inside, like your friend that was supporting the war, he gets home and you show him the facts, and he's no longer a supporter. In fact, he's probably pretty pissed off that he was lied to. Now, somebody like him is going to be the kind of ally that is going to be... voracious in his appetite for destroying these people, because he's going to feel like a part of his life was robbed from him. And frankly, you know, having been a supporter of these people when I was younger, oh, the poor, you know, Zionist Jews, they've got screwed over, blah, blah, blah. And then I find out the truth, I feel like that, you know, that I got screwed over too, and I'm angry about it. And a lot of people should be. And I'm saying that from the inside, these people can really take this movement they've got apart.
Exactly. And it's, there's another Iraqi veteran guy that I'm going to be doing an interview with myself, and I've presented information, and he's still, they want to send him back on active duty. And so you go present people with this information, you do it in an intelligent way, and not run out there and call people scum and say you're exposed, because what good is that doing? It's making us look like a bunch of nutcases as a whole. You know, it's muddying up the waters for us. But when you go do this in a manner where you're educating people, you know, get out there and hit the streets still, and, you know, as far as passing out DVDs, I quite honestly, I don't know too many good films that I don't even really want to pass out anymore.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I mean, a lot of those other films, especially this one from Alex Jones, if you... This is about fear, fear-mongering. And, I mean, he uses enough facts to pepper in there that gives it pseudo-credibility. But when you look at the effect of it, it's about paralyzing people with fear. Oh, my God, they're going to... You know, I always used to say, they're coming to eat your babies, you know, doing the Alex Jones voice that I so often have done. The truth is that they don't have the boots on the ground to stop us if we wake up. They simply don't. They've been relying on deception and attacking individuals on a very selective basis because they don't have the numbers they need to stop us. And what we need to do is, like you said, be intellectual about it, provide the background like I've been trying to do with the books. But it's working. I mean, they're petrified of having books like Ramsey's book or like Douglas Reed's book out there, or... I mean, these things are devastating to these people, because what it does is it proves this conspiracy over generations.
Yeah, and it really lays the history. And, to get back to Alex Jones, I mean, his days are numbered. I mean, as far as him telling his deceitful, it's not even the fact that he gives a lot of facts and a lot of truth in what he's saying, but his agenda has been exposed. He refuses refuses to absolutely speak about Israeli involvement up until recently, and he's like you've been saying all along, he's been forced to. So we can look at Alex as like a tool in the meantime until people really start waking up to what he's doing out here. But in the meantime, I guess the best that we can expect out of Alex Jones is to be using him as a tool to push him to also push these topics. And that's kind of where he's going at this point, is he's having to talk about this stuff. And it's not because he wanted to. It's not because this information wasn't out a week after 9/11. You know, the Fox News reported on this, and he, you know, now he talks about it. But what did he do all along when he's making Road to Tyranny and Terror Storm? You know, in the Terror Storm, he talks about LBJ making a backroom deal with Israel. And I did my own little special message because I was so upset that this guy was going to say that had the gall to say that LBJ was in power enough to make a backroom deal with Israel, like that were like their Israel was his LBJ's puppet. And I'm looking at this, I'm going, okay, they just popped JFK. LBJ comes in, he's going to be a good puppet. He's not going to step out of line. So they're going to make him look like he took the blame when it was Israel that tried to stage a false flag attack on us to get us instigated in a war. And that's all it is, you know. LBJ wasn't no more power than Bush's or Hitler ever was. So.
That's right, and you know, when you take a look at this, the peregrinations of this group, for example, the Khazarian connection to this group, they're not Semitic, as you pointed out earlier. The simple fact is that they have lived off of their deception for so long, and people along the way who've got credibility, like Nestor Webster, like Elizabeth Dillings, like Douglas Reed and others, they were not able to serialize their facts and then put them out into a mass audience like we are able to do today with the internet. So the technology is really doing them in, and they're desperate to stop us. And of course, they've got some pretty powerful operatives out there willing to take your legs out from under you with nonsense.
Yeah, not only that, you're completely right. The internet has been the Achilles heel of this whole thing. You know, it's right now in history, within the last however many thousands or hundreds of years these people have really had their grip, they're at the worst point they've ever been in history. And is this the time that we need to really stand up and strike and get this out and push it faster and harder? Because the internet right now is kind of like, I've made an analogy, it's kind of like a heroin addict with a needle in their arm. That they're loving the needle, but it's also killing them. So they're at a decision. We pull this needle out, and it's really, you know, that's kind of damaging them at the same time, but they're getting this high of power. And that's, we need to get out there and really strike now, because they're going down pretty good. I mean, if you look in the last year alone, this information wasn't as wide. It was nowhere near as widespread. Barely people talked about it. It was a couple voices off in the corner. Now, if you go on, like go on MySpace, you see like, you know, 30-50% of the bulletins on there are about Israel or Zionism or the history of the Khazars. It's coming out in that tidal wave.
Well, you know, I was one of the forerunners with this information, and the fact is, when we started, the way that the people in the false side of the truth movement, the Webster Tarpleys of the world and the rest, they said that our information was crazy. We were crazy. Kurt Nemo would say we're crazy. You know, they have no idea what they're talking about, and it's the British monarchy, it's the Black Pope, you know, it's Mo, Larry, and Curly. The fact of the matter is that they tried to marginalize us as best they could, but here's the rub that they could not get past. We had the facts. I was putting out the facts, and the facts were always, I mean, once anybody spared a moment to do the due diligence, they would realize right away that there was validity to what I was saying, and this is what was winning me the converts. And there was no way they could stop that. And, of course, today now there is a tidal wave happening, and I think that's why they've accelerated this financial mess, and I think it's coming too soon for them. But I think they're accelerating it because they see that Zionism is being exposed worldwide, and they're going to bring down mayhem and anarchy everywhere with this financial nightmare to stop the implosion of their Zionist network.
Exactly. And this is, I mean, some of the things we can do, like I've been doing recently, we go to bookstores and you'll order, you know, you don't have to pay up front. You don't even have to give your real name, but you can, these books that you present on your website, a really good idea is to have them specially ordered at bookstores, and then just don't pick them up and they throw them on their shelves so that people will see these on the shelves. And I've happened to find books that I wasn't necessarily looking for sitting on shelves, and I ended up buying them because, you know, possibly they were ordered because, I mean, these books would have probably never have been on these shelves. One of the other things I wanted to bring up to get back to Alex Jones is he's using a really good propaganda technique now that he calls infighting. He likes to pretend he's ignoring infighting. And what people need to understand is not infighting to say, hey, Alex, you're not talking about this information and it's really looking fishy. What he does is he does that so people will just ignore these facts. It's like you said, if they actually look at it, it's crystal clear. You just can't deny it. And it's a big piece of propaganda. He says, oh, we're infighting to say the Zionists did this, or we're infighting to blame this all in Israel. No, it's not. It's called debate. It's called open forum. It's called let's get the information out and discuss it and throw it on the table and see where it's going. Let's stop just following you and what you're piping all the time. You know, that's what
Well, and you know, it's a lonely job because what ends up happening is, you know, as soon as you start putting your head above the parapet, if you'll accept that analogy, you're going to get yourself shot at by all kinds of you know, pot shots. I've had to build up a thick skin. One of the dangers of that, Mike, I'm going to tell you, is that you start tuning out even good voices at times, and that happened to me. And I'm people like Ry Dawson, for example. The guy has had a lot of the facts on his side, and because of the circumstances surrounding what happened to me with events prior to this, I was turned away from him by people around me, and so as a result, I lost a potential ally there, and that's sad. The same thing with ConSent. Some of the people at ConCentral, they were actually putting out a lot of the facts, and I was turned away from them by inside people around me. The truth is that there are a lot of people out there that are legitimately working toward these facts, and we have to be able to start separating the wheat from the chaff. But it's a slog. You know, it's a tough slog, this stuff.
And the best thing we can do is, like I said, to do our own, which you've been saying for a long time, do our own due diligence in researching this. So when we have people that are trying to put out a message, we can understand what that message is and if it's true or not, because, you know, this is the thing, is if we're following a certain group of people and taking their word for gold, you're not doing any good, you know, by just saying, you know, like Alex Jones, if you're just listening to him, you're not getting the whole story. You got to go out there and do your own research, and this is where you come find people that are telling the truth, and then you can decipher between the two. And, you know, that's the biggest problem they got out there right now in this so-called truth movement is, they don't want to look at the research. You know, it's like a Hollywood thing game for them.
Well, it's worse than that. It's more or less that I think about the majority of the people think that this is entertainment somehow. It's like a soap opera to them.
Yeah, it's sickening because it's not. This is something very serious. This is probably one of the biggest fights humanity's ever had a winning grip at so far, and it'll be a fight we can win. Of course it might be dangerous, but I don't ever fear any of this stuff. You know, it's like, just get it out there, pound it out there, you know.
You've got to respect the potential, and that's just prudent. I mean, I'm living in a country that is as Zionist controlled as the United States is. I mean, our president is actually a Salonika Jew running this country. So, I mean, I happen to be right in the belly of the beast over here, if you want to give it a term. I have to say, though, one of the things that I'm hoping for is that people will become aggressive like they were early on in the career of the French Connection. They used to bombard the Internet's websites and forums with snippets of information, and they learned some very sophisticated ways of not offending the present residents on these forums. One of the things that we have to avoid doing is taking an aggressive stand with people, but rather say to them, I found this information here. What do you think? Well, and let people make up their mind for themselves rather than saying, you've got to hear this. It's the truth. It's the truth. Because the aggressive sell turns people away.
Yeah, going back to the old thing, you know, ask questions. And, you know, if you go up to somebody like Joe Sixpack on the street and you go, don't you think it's funny that that Dov Zakheim, who was a dual citizen of a foreign nation, was responsible for losing $2.3 trillion. I love to pound this subject because what's one of the, you know, I did an audio file where I talked about the candidates not addressing this issue. And, of course, fiscal matters always come up in these debates. You know, and this goes out to all the Ron Paul, Kucinich, and Gravel supporters. I'm really looking at this going, why aren't these people addressing trillions of dollars missing out of the Pentagon? You know why? Because this is going to open up a big can of worms. And I've been pounding this almost every chance I get to go to this issue because this issue is not a hard theory to push out. It's something that was already disclosed by Rumsfeld himself. So, but you can see where I'm coming from, that this would open up a can of worms. Okay, well, Dov Zakheim. You know, and then we got this AIPAC trial spiraling. This will open up some eyes to people go, yeah, this entanglement we got going with Israel and the people that are in our government that are dual citizens and owe allegiance to this country over America are really causing some financial damage. And you can get, you know, lead off from there. And I follow.
Well, I mean, we can go down the list and say, Wormser and Ledeen and Kagan and Zalkheim and Fleischer and Abrams, and I mean it's an endless. I mean Libby and Christ, it goes on forever. And here's the problem. What happens is people think that somehow I'm going to be able to fight this fight by myself. You knew that wasn't possible. That if they don't fight it as aggressively as we both are right now, there is a chance that they could shut us down and take physical control of things through their, you know, there's a lot of jackbooted police running around, Mike. I mean, here in France, they're only hiring, knuckle-dragging morons that are about 6'2", and they're putting black hoods on them and body armor.
Yeah, they
and they're running out into the streets hitting people with clubs and tasering them just like in America. You can't talk to people like that. And this is the kind of risk that we're running, that they bring that curtain down on us and shut down. The only way we can stop that is by everybody working as hard as both you and I are so that the information battles them back before we even get into the physical confrontation.
Exactly, and that's why, this is the time to do that. I mean, I'm sure it's been said plenty of times in history, but right now with the internet and with the information, with people out there, man, go out there and strike. You know, leave your TVs alone for a minute. I try to push that on people too. It's like stop watching your TV for a minute, spend some time with your family, and get this information out there. And it's important. It's really important. I don't think these people see where if we don't win this, yeah, it's going to be some really really dire times if these people can lock this down. And put it on us. But we have a really good chance of winning at this, you know. And quite frankly, the people out there that are putting all their eggs in a Ron Paul basket, you know, if they take this guy down, it's just, yeah, people are really screwing themselves because Ron Paul's a safe topic. I mean, he's a safe topic. He doesn't talk about anything but the Fed Reserve. And when he talks about that, he really doesn't give you a lot of history of that. And I don't think he maybe even doesn't have the opportunity. But the people that are dumping millions into this guy's pocket are buying signs and going completely berserk on this guy. Who knows if we're even going to make it to the next election before these guys pull something on us. So what good is it going to do to not spread this information? It's just the message that's got to get out there, you know. And if we're putting you on
Ron Paul is no bloody good, and all you need to do is know who's pushing him out into the mainstream to find that out.
And not only that, the gold standard point is really good, and I've brought that issue up, and I haven't heard anybody be able to take that issue down with any validity. So,
well, the gold standard basically would just turn over our entire monetary structure back to the same people who screwed us the first time.
Yep, exactly.
So I mean, it's a nonsense. Mike Gravel did have a great idea, and I had to give him credit on a couple of broadcasts. The initiative idea, if we didn't have these voting machines, that's a big if, but the initiative idea, if the American public could vote on what they wanted the government to do by law, we'd be out of the war already. We would have gotten rid of the Federal Reserve already. We would already have a lot of things changed, like how about no dual citizens in our government? How about, I mean, there's a whole bunch of initiatives that we could have launched already that would have won, clearly. And the fact of the matter is that direct kind of representation scares the shit out of these people. Excuse my foul language, but it does. Because the people know what they really want changed. One of them, maybe 8 out of 10 people don't want us in this Iraqi war.
Yeah, I think that initiative would put us in a lot better place than we're at. I'm not really sold on that being the answer, but you're definitely right. It would put us in a hell of a lot more better position as a country if the people could vote because it was supposed to be set up for our Congress to do that. Obviously, they're not doing a job anymore, so this initiative would be a really good idea at this point. And, I don't even know where to lead off with that one.
Of course, Jim Condit had an idea about using the precinct system to go and start taking back grassroots environments so that the people pushed up to the election level are coming from people that the grassroots actually wants. And what we found out was that these precinct things are already fully padded with the bad guys, but numbers are what counts there. So if people in your own precinct showed up, you would actually vote them out of control. And that's a big scary thing to them, too, because this precinct idea doesn't come from voting machines. It comes from you showing up at the local meeting, which is who decides what candidate is going to get shoved up to the next level. And that has a lot of validity. But, again, you brought up the idea that we may not even get to the next election period, and that's a very real possibility. So it really won't matter when George Bush declares himself emperor for life and has, you know, Kissinger ferrying information from these criminal bankers out of Europe. I mean, the fact is the information that we've got on the site and how this historic stuff has happened and your information coming out in real time from your ProThink program here is the stuff that's going to actually carry forward in the minds of people if we can get it out into the airwaves.
Yeah, and quite honestly, this is the only and the primary thing that we can really do at this point. I mean, these solutions that we got, they could work in the long run and they'll be good layouts, but primarily we just need to get people educated on these topics so that when solutions come around, they do sound like good ideas at that point because they'll understand why they're good ideas. So it's like I said, get this information out. Everybody get out there and do your own thing. Get this, you know, first research it so you know what you're talking about and be able to discuss this with people and talk about it, man. There's this taboo that, you know, you can't talk about politics at work, you can't talk about politics in the family, where did this taboo come from? Why isn't it? I mean, aren't the sanctity of our lives and humanity in this world important enough to talk about politics? Because this is where it all leads to. This is why we're in trouble. If we can't talk about this at the dinner table, we can't talk about or at work, where can we talk about this, you know?
Well, I mean, there has been a programming done on the minds of the American public for the last 40 years that has deeply changed the way we approach everything. And you brought up a very powerful element to that, and that's that television, that idiot box. I mean, the simple fact of the matter is people virtually have ended their love affair with books and reading. Our country ranks 29th in the world in mathematics, 30-something in science. I mean, we're raising moral and emotional and intellectual imbeciles in the country. And the fact is that now what they're doing is, you know, everything's politically correct. You see your friend in the hallway now in some schools. If you give them a hug, you can be suspended for that. For hugging your friend. I mean, these kind of sicknesses are actually going out there as this new political correct nonsense that say people don't have to be responsible to learn and be responsible civics-minded. And we've destroyed our connections. And it started with the destruction of the family through the promotion of rabid homosexuality and not allowing people to debate that whole issue. I mean, look at the stuff we've destroyed in our family structure. It's unbelievable. It shocks me.
And if you look around, I mean, you're completely right. It's society that they've done a really good job in America. I mean, don't Americans look around and go, wow, our nation is supposed to be really powerful, but you look at the intelligence level of this country versus even third world countries out there, and you got to ask yourself, why are we powerful if we have a nation of, you know, they want us to be sissies. They want us to be snitches. They want us to be children and coddle and pretend that the government and the television people that they put in your face are your mommy and daddies, and that's who we're supposed to bow down to. You know, it's like, and if you know, the more and more I go back and I look at a TV program or I look at a movie, you can see in almost every single one of them. That's why I say just stop watching TV altogether. Jump on the internet and go self-research. Go do your due diligence. Because every single program always has an innuendo or a message or agenda. And once you get research and you go back and you look at this, you can pick them out. And I tell you what, whenever I turn on a TV or I'm at somebody's house and they unfortunately have their TV on and they're glued to it and I'm looking at it, I just get disgusted because I always see their message they're pushing. They're always pushing a message. And it works so good. You turn it. It's called programming for a reason. It's the program.
Yes, well, it is. And I'll give you a good example, and maybe you can second this. Everybody loved that program, Friends. And, of course, what they were pushing on Friends often was Chandler got free porn on his TV set. Don't turn off the TV. We got free porn. Now, the idea that pornography is going to help in any way for the society to become a better place is an absolute nonsense. It's a nonsense. It's a fraudulent setup from the start, and that's one of the major things they talked about constantly. Did you get new porn today? Did you buy a new porn film? And now you take a look at who's running the porn industry, and it's Zionist Jews from one side of it to the other.
Exactly, and they push that all the time in there. And what was one of the things the other day we were watching on there, and they were pushing. Oh, a guy, they're pushing a white supremacist on this show, and my wife stopped watching TV quite a long ago, and she decided she got bored and turned on the show, and instantly it was pushing a message. This white supremacist was against, you know, the doctors and the nurses, and but the message they were pushing, it was just ridiculous, because they were just pushing a message that, you know, it came down to, some, you know, basically supporting, I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, because it was at the time I looked at it and I was just like, wow, look at this. They're pushing this message. But I think actually it has a message, something that you really can't talk about on your radio show, but being at where you're at. And
well, we can't, because recently they've actually stepped up an enforcement of that subject. And if it's even broached on my programming here, I'm going to run afoul of these people's laws, because I do have a completely Zionist-controlled government in place here. Interesting that what's happening now is that Mr. Sarkozy is actually trying to push for a European-wide court that deals with that single issue alone.
I don't know how far you – so you're not even able to promote anything on other sites, or how does that law work out there? I mean, the fact that they even have this law that says you can't question something in history, I mean, when did people let that slide, even in Europe? I mean,
what shocks me is the Germans have not rebelled against it, and I've actually called them out on it. I said, shame on them, man. I mean, Jesus, out of all the countries in the world that have been abused, the German public has been the most abused. And they're not willing to take a stand on any of this stuff. They have been beaten down like a wet, beaten dog, man. It's awful. And I hope that somehow these messages are about the rest of the conspiracy, about the Nestor Webster stories and the Mal Ramsey story and the Douglas Reed and, I mean, so many. Leese, his story. How about the Synagogue of Satan? And Andrew Hitchcock's work. I mean, this stuff needs to go everywhere.
Yeah, I've actually personally ordered Andrew's book there. I had a hard time getting it ordered at the store. They didn't seem to have that book in their inventory, so that was one of the books actually I was going to get put on the shelves. I told them I wanted 5 copies. And, get down and read a book. Man, some of these books out there, that Andrew book looks like it's pretty good from the transcripts I've read on your website there. It looks like it has a nice little history laid out. And you know, one of the other books I'm looking to get to right now is Arthur Koestler's book, because I believe right there that theory has not been expressed enough, that these people that live in Israel that call themselves the rightful heir and God's chosen one, you know, that you get into this 13 tribe idea, that they don't have any validity anymore than you and me do there. So
that's right. It's like an Eskimo saying that he has the right to Hawaii or something. It's crazy. I do this on a regular basis because I would never be able to sleep at night not thinking I'm doing my best to stop it. That's where I'm at these days. But the sad problem is that I can't sleep at night knowing that this is real. So basically, Mike, I can't sleep. It's maddening.
Oh boy.
Well, I know you have a family that you've started, and you want to make sure that the future of your family is as secure as it can be. How is the rest of your immediate family handling this information? Not your wife, but cousins and brothers, parents, things like that.
Well, I keep chipping away at them. They obviously don't discredit any information because it's about the way you present it in a question form. And the apathy because they're still watching TV, they're still buying the propaganda. It's like it's the of importance is not there. And that's what I'm just really trying to, it's like we see how important this is, so that's why we have the urge, the necessity to want to get out and fight this. And it's hard to break through that barrier where this is important. It's just going to affect you, and you need to understand this. And laying down is only being complicit to these people.
Yep.
And that's what my hardest barrier to get through as far as my immediate family. I've got a lot of friends, I tell you, that are taking this and running with it. They might not be out there doing everything I'm doing, but quite frankly, I have the time on the table to do that, so that's what I'm doing. But there are people out there taking it serious, but as far as immediate family goes, it's hard to stress how important this is to put down your entertainment-filled life and to be responsible for humanity, your country, your next generation. It upsets me. This is one of the things that upsets me, too, is past generations. Like, if you try to talk to someone that's in a that might be older. I'm 32, so you try to talk to somebody that's older in a generation. I talk to them and say, hey, you're old enough to remember the USS Liberty attack, right? And, if they don't know about it, tell them about it. And the apathy that comes across their face, like, oh, well, what are we going to do? I feel hopeless. And I get disgusted because, I'm the one, and then my children and other people's children are the ones that's going to have to fight for this eventually and even harder. And it's disgusting sometimes, It's really frustrating trying to put this through to people, how important it is that they have to sacrifice their time and energy to fight this. It's everybody's due diligence to do this. It's responsibility, and it's something in America that they don't want you to have anymore. They don't want you to have to be responsible for something. They want to make you think that everybody else is going to take care of it. Don't worry, call the police, they'll take care of it. Don't worry, if you can't eat, we'll give you some socialized medical program or socialized food program. We'll feed you our GMO foods, and don't worry, the FDA makes aspartame legal, but stevia's got to be can't be legal as a sweetener. They got this whole brainwashing thing going on where they don't have to be responsible for this stuff, and that's what we got to break through.
Well, here's the last thing that I want to touch on before we go here. Your website has been growing. I'm sure that people are starting to find a quality in your work and a growth in your presentations and whatnot. Give everybody a little rundown of what you got going on the site and where give them the details of the site and how they can get there.
Well, to be honest, I've been a student of yours and a lot of your work going on, along with others, and a message to others sometimes push that is positive. And I decided that I'm going to get out there and put my own can of fire on here to try to fight this. So I got a website. It's www.prothink.org, and I do my own video podcast where I put my 2 cents into it. I try to motivationally speak to people when I'm talking to them. I do interviews with people that I feel have a good message. And right now I'm working on a project because, like I was saying before, we don't have really any good DVDs that I personally would feel comfortable giving out to people. There's 15 videos about 9/11. None of them have anything about Israeli involvement. So I'm personally working on a project right now where I want to get a DVD out, and I'm not going to go out there and make a gang of money off it, like some of these other people have done it as an enterprise. I'm going to put it out there for free. I am doing this, out of my responsibility, and so I'm doing doing everything I can, and that's what I'm hoping everybody else gets on. And that's
have you seen the Prisoners in the Desert YouTube video that's out from somebody from took the information from my interview with James Innes? And we've had all up to date about 250,000 downloads on it.
I don't recognize the title, but I'd be pretty confident I saw it, but I don't recognize the title.
Well, check out Prisoners in the Desert. Add that to the video, because I'll tell you something, it's very, very powerful. And James Innes says in no uncertain terms that El Al-Arish is where they caught the Israelis shooting down Egyptian soldiers like dogs and making them dig their own graves. And it's very powerful, and it's irrefutable, because it's all part of the congressional record on the investigation of the Liberty that has come out since the date. And Innes was there first person. Now, there were people trying to blame Johnson for that. The Alex Jones people were trying to blame Johnson for the Liberty. I mean,
you can't give him that credibility, because the guy's he's a puppet, just like almost every single president, especially in the last 100 years. There's only really been one person that stepped out of line, and it looks like it was JFK trying to step out of line, and we've seen what happened to him. So obviously, especially LBJ coming right in after JFK, he wasn't going to step out of line. So they probably asked him at that point. It's just my theory, but it sure does fit well with the rest of the puzzle pieces on that whole situation, that he was meant to take the blame, because they botched that whole operation up. And I think we could really learn from that and attribute. And that's one of the focuses I'm going to put, because a lot of people like to focus on the U.S. government with the Operation Northwoods document. Now,
Carol Valentine says that's a fraudulent document.
Really?
Carol Valentine, go to Carol Valentine's site and type her Carol Valentine, then read about Northwood. She said that everything that she discovered about that was fraudulent.
That even makes it worse, because I was looking at a theory that these people that are in the movement, that are pushing, it's almost like they want a revolutionary group to go against the entire U.S. government instead of looking at
No. It was a document introduced way after it says the date that it was actually written. It was a fraud from start to finish, and she was one of the last people to say that. And everything I can see from my research says that she was absolutely right about it. Carol Valentine is one of the true early heroes in this war. And her site is the most powerful. Come in here, is it's called. She has another one too. I don't know if you can still find the Northwoods analysis, but if you check Carol Valentine and Northwoods in your search engine, you should find something. I got to tell you, Mike, I'm glad to see you working hard at this stuff, and I appreciate your time with us here today. We had a heck of a time getting connected, didn't we?
Oh my gosh! Somebody on these phone lines didn't want us getting connected, because we did have a heck of a time finally getting connected.
We were working overtime to try to get the call through, and I mean, from my side of the world, they did not want me calling you, and I tried calls from all kinds of different sources, and boy, it didn't work. It was, I have trouble with my phones on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. There's always somebody listening in. Funny thing I've often brought up about what the people listening in actually must think. I mean, these people are not the big level decision makers. How could they sit there in good conscience, knowing what we're saying is true, and actually continue to work on behalf of these crooks? This is astonishing to me. Don't they worry for their own families, I wonder?
Well, I'm kind of optimistic on that view, and I've heard you say that before. I'm kind of thinking that these people still playing complicit are I'm hoping, and this is an optimistic view, I'm hoping that these people that are listening are taking this information serious and not just playing robot with their handlers, and stay at least putting this information away in the back of their head to look at and to consider this. So when the time comes that they need to step out and say something, or maybe hopefully they can come out and whistleblow, something, that would be great. They would do the good deed,
We can hope. One of the things that Bush did was get rid of anybody who didn't like him out of the CIA with Carter Gosse, and the same thing happened here in France when Sarkozy was, before he became president, was the interior minister, which is in charge of all the police. He purged the interior minister and all the police departments of people who didn't agree with him. So they are very methodical about the way they control stuff. Now, there have to be people that kept their heads down during that process who still agree with us. And hopefully some of them are going to come forward and start telling the truth, or at least protect our message so that we can get more people involved.
Yeah, they're going to have to stand up and do it. And hopefully that time comes that they make that right decision, because, you know, it's like you said before, too, these people are going to get burned, too. They're just higher up on the candle wick, but they're going to get burned, too. Don't let yourself get fooled as you're playing their game and you're being complicit with them, that they're gonna keep you in the line. You know, they're gonna burn you. They've always burned their pawns and their puppets and their crews in the history. You know, because it's just the way how the game goes with these people.
That's right. Well, you know, it's been great to have you on for this first time. We're gonna invite you back, Mike, later on to do some more work with you. You know, this is when there's more, you know, we get a specific topic to discuss, we'll do that. This is really just a first intro for people to listen to. And I urge everybody to send those files I asked you for. The files were taken off of the French Connections website and deleted. And I have my Ralph Nader interviews are gone, my McGovern interviews, my Felicity Arbuthnot interviews are gone. Just a whole list of my five or six James Innes interviews, and who else? Just there's dozens and dozens of them, and if anybody could go down the list and maybe make a comparison and send the ones that they've got that I don't have, I'd be very appreciative, because there's a whole wealth of information. Michelle Shostakovsky's gone. Dennis Halliday's gone. This all happened before Krister took over, so you know the story there. But we need them back, and we need to put them on the site. I had no idea they were even gone. I thought they were just in a separate file, but they weren't. They were deleted, and they were deleted long ago. So we need them back, and I hope that you can take that as a prompt to help us out over here. The other thing is that we take donations to help pay for the bills. We still are expanding our expanding. We're trying to straighten out our problems with the stream here, which has been complicated. One of the problems is that you have to leave the computer unattended to stream out, and it has problems when you leave them on, especially if you have an open line to the Internet and they get assaulted by, you know, those people that keep listening to our phones. All they have to do is weasel their way into your computer and shut down your stream. That's why having your own server is a real good idea. But that was another expense we couldn't pony up for. So anyway, Mike, thanks for coming on the French Connection today. You've been a great guest. You know, a lot of stuff there, and we're going to visit some other issues if you're willing.
Oh, I'm definitely willing. I appreciate you having me on. It's good working with you, and definitely appreciate the work you're doing, getting the message out there, and you know, hopefully we'll have some good luck with this. So,
well, do the due diligence on some of the things we discussed earlier, and let me know what you got. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and we want to both ProThink Mike and myself want to thank you for listening into today's broadcast. Take care of your families out there, huh? Things are going to get decidedly more difficult in the upcoming weeks and months, and you need to get prepared for all those things, and take care of yourselves and be well. Bye-bye now.
Of women giving birth, and in it I would be the innocence of the children of all the earth, children of all the earth.